I got some crafts back there for them today, I know, and all kinds of fun things. Amen. I love the noise of children in the house. Amen. Did he go back through there, Lisa? Lisa, did he go back through there? Is Junie with you? Okay. Did Junie go to Sunday school? Is what I was saying. She can't hear me. That's okay. Yes. 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 And Junie is here. Can somebody say amen? Praise the Lord. Junie is here today. Hallelujah. That's what I was checking on. We got some celebrities in the house. Junie is the little boy we've been praying for. That they didn't think he was going to be able to eat. And his mom told me this week he's eating everything. He's eating steak. He's eating all kinds of stuff. So thank you, Jesus. That is an answer to prayer. Amen. That is an answer to prayer. So thankful for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as Sam said this morning, I already feel the presence of the Lord in the house. Amen. Well, we sing that song, "May His Favor Be Upon You to a Thousand Generations." How many believe you are the favored of the Lord? We're starting a series this month, the month of December, called Favored. The favor of the Lord. Last week we talked about the favor of the Lord. How many feel like you have the Lord's favor upon your life? Amen. How many feel like you're God's favorite? Come on, all of you, raise your hand. God can have favorites, right? We are the apple of his eye. That's what the scripture says, and that we have favor. And favor means the blessings of the Lord. It also means his endorsement. How many know he's endorsed you? He's called you his own. He's made you his. We are sons, and we are joint heirs. We are inheritance. We inherit the kingdom of God, the power and the Holy Spirit that lives and resides in us. I'm thankful today for the favor of the Holy Spirit upon our life. I was listening to a pastor this week on TV, and he was talking about the story of Ruth and how Ruth was a Moabitess, which was a Gentile, which she was not Jewish, she was not Hebrew, she was not raised as a church girl. But how many know when the famine hit in Moab and they came back to the land of Bethlehem, she had a mother-in-law named Naomi. And Naomi mentored her and tutored her and told her how to go into the field and glean in the field so that they could have provision. Amen? And she would go and glean after the reapers would go through the field. Then it was the law that you could leave the handfuls and that that the poor could come along and glean the edge of the field. And they could pick up the leftovers from where the reapers came through. Amen? And so Ruth would come through and pick up the leavens of what they had. How many know Ruth started out on a version of welfare? Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Provision. When she didn't have food, there was food left for the needy. But little did she know that she had favor with a kinsman redeemer. And because of that, because she caught his eye, because she had favor with Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, little did she know that one day she'd own the field. Come on, somebody, you might start on ground zero. You might start with nothing, but the favor of your kinsman, the favor of your redeemer today has given you the right to own the field and marry the man who owns the field. Do you know that Ruth was the great-great-great-grandmother, whatever it is, of David, and out of the line of David came from the loins of Ruth, a Moabitess who started out on welfare. Come on, somebody, who married the man who owned the field, who gave birth to King David, who one day would be in the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus. It doesn't matter where you start, but it matters where you finish. Hallelujah. Favor will get you somewhere. Favor's not always fair. Favor's not always fun. but it's always productive. Amen. And so when we see favor, sometimes favor doesn't look like favor. It doesn't look like we've been favored. But how many know the hand of God on your life will never leave you where you are, but it will always take you to a better place. And I love that. When Joseph was sitting in the prison, not guilty of those things that they had accused him of, how many know he began to interpret dreams? He began to act and operate in the giftings that he had, even in a prison place. I mean, sometimes what happens is when we get in a hard place or we get in a difficult place, we lay aside our giftings and our talents and our callings and think, God, you've forsaken me. Why did you drop me here? But Joseph didn't operate like that. He began to prophesy in the prison. He began to interpret dreams in the prison. And when he did, word of it got to the king, to the Pharaoh. And he said, you know what? There's a guy down in your prison that knows how to interpret dreams. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. It didn't look like he was favored at the time. But how many know he went from being a prisoner to being the prime minister because God's giftings and blessings in his life elevated him to a place of favor. Come on, somebody. I don't care where it looks like where you're sitting right now, but God's got you. He's got you in the palm of his hand, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Hallelujah. So I thank God for favor today. I want to talk about, in James last week we said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. How many know every good gift and every perfect gift is from above? Hallelujah. We have the favor of God in our life. I want to go to Isaiah this morning. Go ahead and bring up Isaiah for me, if you would. Isaiah 40 is about halfway through the book of Isaiah. And if you know anything about the book of Isaiah, it starts out, woe, woe, woe. Woe unto you, woe unto you. But about the 39th and the 40th chapter of Isaiah, it begins to shift. But how many know Isaiah is the one who prophesied, for unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Somebody say no end today. Hallelujah. So when you think the government is on the shoulders of somebody else, you need to read Isaiah and remind yourself, for the government is upon his shoulders. Hallelujah. The government is upon his shoulders, and he's the Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Isaiah is also the one who prophesied and said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Aren't you thankful this morning that we serve an Emmanuel God? He's God with us. He's God in us. He's God through us. God to us. God for us. Emmanuel God. That means he's a very present, touchable, tangible kind of God. Hallelujah. So in Isaiah chapter 40, we see where it starts to sing. And if you know anything, has anybody in here ever seen Handel's Messiah? Have you ever heard the performance of Handel's Messiah? If you've not, it's a very profound piece of music. It is a opera type performance of music. And Handel was it in a rough place in his life, and he locked himself in a room, and 52 days later, he comes out with this masterpiece of music called Handel's Messiah. And it is the story starting in Isaiah chapter 40 when he begins to say, comfort ye, comfort ye my people, and say to them, their warfare is over. And he begins telling the story of the Messiah from Isaiah all the way through the Christmas story till he ends up with the Easter. How many of you ever heard the Hallelujah Chorus? Yeah. Yeah. Handel's Messiah, right? And so when anytime Handel's Messiah is sung and they sing the Hallelujah Chorus, everybody stands to their feet. Right? So if you're ever at Handel's Messiah, when you get to the Hallelujah Chorus, get ready because everyone's going to stand to their feet. And then what they say about that is they don't know why people do that except for two reasons. One, because the king was hard of hearing and he might have thought it was the national anthem. Or two, when he heard the Hallelujah Chorus, the anointing got on the king and he stood up. And when a king stands up, everybody stands up. I tend to think it's the second half, because when you hear the story and if you really know and understand it, it really is a powerful piece of music. And it comes over and it hits John the Baptist and it introduces the Messiah. Beth sang it when she was in Fairmont. She was part of the choir that sang Handel's Messiah, and I had never heard it before. And when I sat there, I searched through my purse to get McDonald's receipts so I could make notes to preach on, because it was such a powerful piece of music. I was writing things down on the back. Thank God for McDonald's receipts. I was writing them down on the back of McDonald's receipts because the Holy Ghost was in the house, and it was just speaking to me because it was just the powerful story of the life and the purpose of Jesus. Amen. So when we come to Isaiah chapter 40, it says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. It begins, comfort ye my people. And then it says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Then he starts to proclaim something. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bring good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? My judgments is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but. That word but means behold, unveiling truth. Yeah. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many know Isaiah began to prophesy to them, comfort my people, your warfare is over, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew or have renewed strength. Hallelujah. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but there's been many times that I've used that verse. Yeah. to strengthen myself or to speak strength to myself. Now, Isaiah begins to prophesy about a day that's coming, and he begins to talk about one who would prepare the way of the Lord. So in the book of Malachi, we see that it's the last book of the Old Testament. And at the end of the book of Old Testament, I'm going to skip to Malachi chapter 4. Let's just go ahead and go to that one. And it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ye shall tread on the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts, remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel. With the statutes and judgments, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And that is the concluding verse of the book of Malachi of the Old Testament. The very last thing that we hear in Malachi is that God is going to turn the hearts of his people. "I will send you one. I will send you one who will prepare the way. He will come in the spirit of Elijah." How many know God did not send Elijah again, but he sent one who would be in the spirit of Elijah, which was John the Baptist. And so we hear that verse in Malachi, and then there is silence. And for 400 years, there is no prophetic record and no written word of God speaking after the time of Malachi. There is 400 years of silence. Anybody ever felt like God was silent before? I want to talk a little bit about the waiting, they that wait upon the Lord. And I want to talk about some silent nights. We sing about silent night, holy night, but I want to talk about the silence of God for a little bit today, because what happens is we think, well, God just wasn't saying anything for 400 years. Although it's not recorded or not written, how many know God's still moving? Even when you think things are silent or you don't see something happen, it doesn't mean God's not moving. Doesn't mean God's not shifting. Because if God has brought an end to something, he will bring something better out of that. And so many times we're fighting God on, "God, it has to be this way." And God's saying, "If you'll just let go and let me have it, I got something better for you." And so we sometimes fight against the will of God, and we're wanting it to be done a certain way when God says, "I'm working all things after the counsel of my own will." Hallelujah. How many can say in here today, thank God for unanswered prayers? I mean, no, there's some prayers that we've prayed that thank God he didn't answer those prayers, right? Because it was not best. It wasn't in our best interest. It wasn't the best that God had for us. And so there's a time of silence and a period of silence. And we sometimes say, you know, we sing the song that even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. I might not see it with my own eyes. How many know when the servant of Elijah is out, and he's out in the morning, and all of a sudden he looks up and he sees the host of the Syrian army encamped all round about him. And he sees the enemy, and he sees those who are a threat to them. And he looks up to Elijah, and he says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? What are we going to do now?" And the prophet prayed and said, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he might see." And the scripture said that when his eyes were opened, they were encompassed about with a great army of the host of heaven encamped all around about them. What you see might look like the end, but when God begins to open your eyes to something bigger, you see God's got a bigger picture. He's got the host of heaven encamped around about you, that even in the midst of chaos, that God has you covered and encompassed around and hedged about. I prayed many times, Lord, encompass them about. Put a hedge of protection about them. Let the host of heaven surround them and encompass them today. Amen? Even in the midst of affliction. And so it looks like there's nothing happening. And then we all go all the way over to book of Luke. And I'm going to start at verse 5. And we're going to talk about some the silence of God this morning and the favor of God. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous. Everybody say righteous. Before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless, and they had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of and the power of Elijah, which Isaiah just prophesied about, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb or silent, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. 400 years of silence, 400 years of no written or prophetic word, and then all of a sudden God shows up in a temple in Jerusalem on Zechariah's watch. Now they had to cast lots to find out whose turn it was to even get to serve in the temple. You got like a once in a lifetime chance. You serve for about 2 weeks, and then you would probably not serve in the temple in that capacity again. Zechariah pulled the lucky straw. Or so it would seem. I mean, no, I'm not about luck. I'm all about provision. I'm all about favor. But the scripture says that Zechariah, he's in the holy place. And if you know that there's an outer court, there's a holy place, and there's a most holy place. Nobody could go into the holy place or the most holy place except the priest and the high priest. And the high priest only went in once a year. But the priest would go in before the table of showbread and the altar of incense and the candlestick, and they would offer an incense unto the Lord, and they would burn incense, and they would offer the prayers and the praise of the people unto God. So Zechariah is just in doing his business. Now the scripture said they were barren, and the scripture at the end of that says God has taken away my reproach among men. How many knows Elizabeth did not have a reproach with God? Yeah. It was only in man's eyes because she was barren, she had no seed, and she had no one to inherit the name. Amen? And so under that culture, it was a reproach not to bear children. And so Zechariah is in before the table showbread. He's in before the incense. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up beside of him and greets Zechariah. And the scripture says, and Zechariah is afraid because no one else is supposed to be in there but him. And all of a sudden, he shows up and he says to him, hey, Zach, your prayers have been answered. Well, he's offering the prayers of the people, right? And he's offering all the praises of the people. And so he's waiting, like, what prayers? And he said, and your wife, Elizabeth, she's going to have a baby. And Zechariah's probably thinking in his mind, man, that's an old prayer. There was a time that I prayed that Elizabeth would have a baby. But he said, sir, Mr. Gabriel, I'm old. And when King James calls you old, you're old. Right? But he doesn't, I love this, because he doesn't call Miss Elizabeth old. He says she's well stricken in years. Now, Zechariah, he's a wise man. Bob, he's 80, and Linda's 21, right? We know that today. So he says, Zechariah said, I'm old. And she's well stricken in years. So if the Bible calls you old, you're probably old, right? And he said, he begins to speak to them. He said, I'm going to fulfill the prophet of Isaiah right now. When I was reading that scripture, I was thinking about Isaiah being in the portals of heaven and saying, all right, everybody, stand up and pay attention, because the time, appointed time, is about to happen. Galatians said that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he could redeem those who were under the curse of the law. Isaiah, when the angel Gabriel stepped into that thing, into that holy place, had to say, everybody stand up and pay attention, because I told you so. I told you so. It seemed like a long time. It seemed like hundreds of years for those prophecies to come to pass, but I'm about to get vindicated. And Zechariah stands in at that table, and he said, and your wife Elizabeth, she's going to have a baby. And Zechariah does probably what all of us in here would have done, said, and how is this going to work? How can this be, seeing we are both old and well stricken in years? And he began to prophesy and said, I'm going to send you one who's going to come in the spirit of Elijah. And he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. And I am going to fulfill my promise to you. And the scripture says that because Elijah doubted, that the Lord left him dumb or unable to speak. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you in here would have probably been speechless when you walked out of that place? Because, so many times God can speak something to our heart, but because of our unbelief, we can't really grab a hold of it. And I dare say a lot of us would be speechless in our life, because we would ask God, God, how can this happen? How can this be? I have prayed for this, and I've even put that prayer on a shelf, thinking I have passed my time and that there's no way that this could happen. And you show up and say, I am Gabriel. When Gabriel shows up, God's about to do something big time. And so the scripture says that he goes outside to greet the people after he's offered incense. And they want to know, where's Zechariah? What's taken so long? And they said, he must have seen a vision. He must have seen something in there. I want to tell you that if you've been in the holy place and you've been offering prayer and praise to people, it might leave you speechless. And when you go out of that place, somebody's going to know that you've been in the presence of the Lord, because there's a different countenance about you. There's a different look about you, because if you've been in the divine presence of the Lord, it changes how you talk. It changes how you speak. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where God has done things and done miracles that has left me speechless. I love it. I love the silent nights where we are silent and God begins to speak. Because there's so many times I've told you before, I get before the Lord, man, I'll just talk and pray and say everything, and then I'll think, okay, maybe I should just stop and listen. Because when I stop and listen, then he starts to talk. And so many times I think we don't give God opportunity to talk to us and to speak to us. And he goes outside of that temple, and the people are waiting for him, and he greets them because he can't speak, right? Yep. Sign language. And so I'm telling you, I'm thinking that this is probably the longest 2 weeks of Zechariah's life. I don't know if it happened at the beginning of the 2 weeks, at the end of the 2 weeks, but that's a long 2 weeks. Because somehow he's got to be able to go back home and tell Miss Elizabeth what God is saying to him. Amen? How do you articulate God's presence? How do you articulate to someone else what God is speaking to you? But he goes back home and he's got to somehow tell Miss Elizabeth, I saw an angel, Gabriel. And it left me speechless. The presence of the Lord left me speechless. It was silent nights. But how many know through sign language, through actions, whatever it took, how many know Mr. Zechariah goes back home and says, you, me, we're going to have a baby. And she said, what? Yeah, you, we're going to have a baby. And she says, crazy old man. How can this be? But the scripture says that Elizabeth conceived and hid herself for 5 months in the waiting of her conception. Now, I submit to you that it was 5 months of saying, you know what? I'm going to hide myself from negativity. I'm going to hide myself from everybody that's going to talk me out of my promise. I'm going to hide myself from everybody that's going to say, Elizabeth, come on, Elizabeth. You know, you must have got confused, Elizabeth. You are well stricken. You know this can't happen, Elizabeth. How many know if she was well stricken in years, she doesn't have any indicator to let her know that she's even pregnant? You know what I'm saying, right? There's no indicator. There's no ultrasound. There's no blood test. There's no little pink strip. There's no pharmacy to go buy a test. You got to trust God. You got to believe God. But the scripture says she hides herself for 5 months. She hides from everybody else that's going to say, there's no way this could happen. You ever have great dream crushers in your life? You ever have people when you start to share your heart with them, they're like, oh, that ain't going to happen. That's not the way it works. I remember my mom telling the testimony one time and saying that God had called her to preach. She said, you know, God's called me to preach, and he's going to send me, all over into the nations and stuff like that. And my aunt said to her, how are you going to do that? You don't even have a driver's license. That made sense, right? But how many know God fulfilled his word? She eventually got a driver's license. But beyond that, her voice was heard in the nations, and God fulfilled the promise to her. It might look like it's over. It might look like it's done. It might look like you've passed your prime. It might look like it's never going to happen. But if you trust and you believe in God and hide yourself from negativity, hide yourself from fear, hide yourself from doubt, and just trust God to perform what he said he would perform. And then Angel Gabriel makes stop to door number 2. Go ahead and bring that up for me. On down a little ways there. And in the 6th month, that's Elizabeth's 6th month, she hid herself for 5 months, but in her 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, a little nowhere town, small community, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Somebody say favored. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Hold up right there. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. So about the time that Elizabeth has hid herself for 5 months, the angel Gabriel knocks on door number 2 and shows up at the house of Mary, a young girl, a teenager, a virgin, and begins to prophesy and say things over her like, hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And he begins to prophesy over her and tell her that she's going to conceive and bear a child, and that his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall be great, and he shall be God with us. And he begins to prophesy over her. And Mary says, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? Can I tell you today that what God is doing in this hour has nothing to do with man? It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit and the power of God to overshadow us and birth something in us above and beyond anything we can do or man can do in his own strength or power. Hallelujah. And so she begins to question, and I always thought, Lord, why is it that Mary could ask questions but Zechariah couldn't? And I believe it's because what we see, what's happening in that story, is God is silencing an old order priesthood. And he no longer is speaking or declaring old order or old covenant stuff until he releases the name of John. And when he produces the son and the name of John, the name John means grace. And when an old order priesthood starts to preach grace and declare the grace and favor of God, God opens his mouth, and no longer were they saying doom and curse as Zechariah, as Malachi had said, but all of a sudden now we're declaring grace and favor and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And so Elizabeth, one of the things he says to Mary, one of the most powerful things I believe he says to Mary is, and your cousin Elizabeth, she's going to have a baby. And I believe Mary said, well, then if God can do that for Elizabeth, then surely he can do for me what he said that he would do. And so Mary gets up, packs up her stuff, and in the 6 month heads over to the house of Elizabeth because they got some talking to do. Elizabeth, can we talk? I've been hearing things about you, Elizabeth. I've been hearing that God's been stopping by your house. I've been hearing that God's birthing something in you. I've been hearing that God has visited the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. I've been hearing that there's something happening that's outside of the normal. It's miraculous. Elizabeth, we need to talk. And she gets over to the house of Elizabeth, and the scripture tells us that when Mary comes to the house of Elizabeth, that at the salutation or the sound of Mary's voice, as she begins to salute Elizabeth, the scripture said that Elizabeth says, "Mary, at the sound of your salutation, you caused my baby to leap in my womb," and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I want to tell you, when Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost comes together, something's about to happen. God's about to burst something big time, and God's about to cause your baby to leap in your womb. If you haven't felt it for a while, if you need your passion stirred, God wants to bring that passion and stir the womb of your heart. It says, at the sound of your salutation, you caused my baby to leap. It's about the between the fifth and sixth month of a woman carrying a baby that baby starts to move and starts to kick and starts to swim like a fish in there. All the ladies in the room, you know that when the first time that baby moves, you're thinking, I don't know if that was gas or if that was a baby. Right? And you're laying still and you're waiting. Maybe was that a baby moving? I don't know, but I think it might have been a baby moving. Right? But by about the ninth month, you're pretty sure there's a baby moving in there. You can't go 10 minutes without going to the bathroom. And that baby's kicking like a football player, right? And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a baby in there. But let me just tell you, if you are well stricken in age and you don't have any indicators, you don't have nothing but a promise, and all of a sudden that baby leaps, I'm going to tell you, that'll make you want to prophesy. That'll make you want to speak and be filled in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and all those kinds. It'll make you want to shout. It'll make you want to connect. I've said it and I'll say it over and over and over again. There is something about the power of connection when we come together in church. You can watch it online if you want to, but when you come together in the house, there is something that draws, there's something that pulls you, there's something that activates that anointing that's inside of you, that Holy Ghost that's inside of you, that baby that's inside of you, that all of a sudden when that baby leaps, you can't talk me out of my promise anymore, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt now that God has fulfilled his promise.
Yep.
I love it. How many know the words of your mouth are powerful? Your salutation are powerful. Your salutation is powerful. When we begin to speak the things of the Lord and begin to declare the promises of God, and when somebody stands up with a testimony and said, this is what God did for me, and somebody else stands up with a testimony and said, this is what God has done for me, and somebody else, how many know, it stirs up excitement in you. It stirs up your faith. It stirs up your hope to cause you to believe that if God can do that for them, he can do it for me. And the scripture tells us that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Maybe she didn't want to go back home to the reproach she thought she might face when she found out that the person that she's engaged to finds out that she's with child of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you can't explain what God's doing inside of you. And so scripture says she stays 3 months. Well, we got 5 months. 6 months, she shows up at her house. The baby starts to move. By 9 months, what's happening? It's time to give birth. It's time to push. It's time for the water to break. It's time for the baby to be born. And I believe that Mary stood by the bed of Elizabeth when she gave birth to that baby, and stood there with a midwife when she saw the umbilical cord that connected that baby to the Holy Spirit, and said, I can go home now. I can believe for my promise, because I have embraced your baby. I have embraced what God has birthed in you. And if I can embrace it and hold what God has given to you, then I can believe for myself that God will perform what he said that he would do. Elizabeth has that baby. They take it into the temple, as is the custom, to take it to the temple and dedicate that baby to the Lord. And they hand Zechariah a writing tablet. What's the baby's name? He said, his name shall be John. And everybody there said, there's nobody in your family named John. We all thought you were going to name him Zachariah Jr. Somebody after the priestly name. It can't be John. How many know the name John means grace or God's graciousness? And when he wrote the name grace, his tongue was loosed, his mouth was open, and he said, grace, grace, his name shall be John. And when he began to proclaim John, God began to activate and institute a new order of a priesthood that would stand up and declare the grace and favor of God. When everybody else wants to call it Zachariah Jr., you name it what I said to name it. You call it blessed. You call it favored. You call it anointed. You call it provision. When they wanted to call her barren, she said, oh no, they're going to call me blessed because God has looked upon my reproach. You can call me what you want to call me, but I'm going to go what God wants to call me, and he has called me blessed and favored and chosen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. The favor of God in your life will do the miraculous. Hallelujah. Mary's response to the angel was, be it unto me according to your word. In other words, she said, if this is to be so, bring it on. Bring it on. Hallelujah. Let me be in subjecting it according to your will and your purpose in my life. I believe God wants to stir the womb of our hearts in this season. I believe he wants to touch those places that seem like they have been barren, those places that seem like they have been dry, those places that seem they have been without hope or have been fearful. Hallelujah. God, we pray over this house today, God, in Jesus' name. Every heart, God, that's ever doubted, every heart that's been in despair, every heart that seemed empty and barren, God, I ask right now the power and the surge of the Holy Spirit. Just as you flowed through the body of Elizabeth, God, you not only filled her with the Holy Ghost, but you filled John with the Holy Ghost from the womb. The generations are blessed because of those who stand and honor you, God. I thank you today, Lord. I thank you for your graciousness. I thank you for your abundance. I thank you for the flow of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, all you do is have to invite him in. Say, Lord, I receive you into my heart. If you want to renew that vow, said, Lord, you've never left me. But Lord, I recommit my heart to you, my mind, my thoughts, my actions. I commit to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, that you would birth something in me in this season. Lord, of the supernatural that would cause there to be a stirring from the inside out, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for everyone in here who is experiencing barrenness in some form or some way in their life, Lord, spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, God. Lord, we decree and declare, Lord, it is your season of promise. It is your season of purpose. It is your season of provision. Hallelujah. Lord, it is your season to bring forth your goodness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you're in here today and you want special prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Or our altars are always open for prayer to receive of the Lord, as Beth sings.